You are listening to the Galena Missions Podcast, the preaching ministry of Galena Bible Church. Follow along as we study God's Word together.
All right, so we are still in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be in the book of Proverbs for quite a long time. And we've moved into the section of Proverbs that really, if I were to preach it line by line and precept upon precept, we would be here forever. Probably at least for the next 30 years, because each verse is its own thought, its own idea, its own facet of wisdom and truth. And we've been looking at all the way up from Proverbs chapter 1 all the way to Proverbs chapter 9, the call to choose wisdom. And if you've gotten tired of me saying, choose wisdom, you're going to get a break. We're going to say, this is what wisdom looks like in this area of life. The definition of wisdom that we've been using as we've been looking at Proverbs has been this. It is the skillful living of life according to God's reality. That's wisdom. It's not just knowing information and being smart. It's knowing how to skillfully live life in view of God's reality and the way in which the world is taught. This section of Proverbs from chapter 10 onward is a collection of wise teachings, wise sayings, some of them are very memorable nuggets and sound bites, covering everything you can think of between work and friendship, to parenting and to marriage, to being a lazy couch potato. It didn't use that term, it uses the term sluggard, but lazy couch potato, we understand that. To being a righteous individual. And so as we think about this whole section, what we're going to be doing is basically taking themes out of what it's talking about and looking at them, lifting them up, and looking at them as though you're looking at a jewel and looking through the various facets of wisdom towards that particular subject and the things that it has to say to you on this. So we'll get to all of these in due time, but today I want to ask you a question. By what means did God create the heavens and the earth? By what means did God create the heavens and the earth? He what? He spoke it into being. And God said, right? He spoke it into his existence. And after he made it, what did he say about everything that he had made? It's good, right? It's good. And then he made man upon the earth and he said, it is very good. Because distinct from all other creation that he spoke into existence, out of man, he said, let us make man in our own image. And in the image of God, he created man and woman to reflect his character into the world. And we've touched on this quite a bit, of the reality of why is it that something is good or true or holy? Or why is it that we value love? Why is it that we value justice? Why is it that we value mercy? We value those things because they come from God. He defines those things, and so we in turn reflect those things back to God and to other people. It's the only reason why we can actually say that anything is evil, because we have something outside of us to define it by, right? Now, here's the second question. As image bearers of God, made in His likeness, if God created the heavens and the earth by His words, He spoke it into existence, do we possess the same ability? Well, do we possess the same ability to create by our words good things? Well, certainly not in the same way that God does, right? I can't say, and let there be a universe, and poof, here's the universe, right? I can't do that. But our words do create good things that were not there before. Here's an example. Will you marry me? Right? That whole marriage thing didn't exist before that those words were uttered. Or how about this simple one? Let's have a play date with the kids at 4. 4 o'clock, you get at least some, moms get a little bit of adult time, right? And you created something that did not exist before, and it's good. How about this one? The smile that is produced when these words are said. I'm so proud of you. Something that did not exist now does. Or this one. I love you. But because of sin, and how sin has affected the world and it has affected us, we are born into a world that is bent towards Satan's kind of mindset. Remember, we've said that Satan creates nothing. All he does is take that which God made and called good and corrupt it. Just turn it off of center, just slightly. And so, because of sin, we now have the ability to create brokenness and resentment, hurt and strife all by our words. You're worthless. I wish I'd never met you. I hate you. All of these kind of words create something that did not previously exist. They create something that God did not intend to be in reality. And yet, we bring them about by our own words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 gives us the framework for what we're going to be talking about today. If you have your Bible, you can flip there. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. And it simply says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. The book of Proverbs is deeply concerned with what we say, with the words that come out of our mouth, with the information that we transfer to people, in the way that we communicate to other human beings. Proverbs is significantly concerned about what we say and the words that we use and the attitude that we filter communication through. Words matter. And very specifically, your words matter. My words matter. Death and life, these are in the power of our tongue. To be able to speak life and to be able to speak death to things, that is a great power. And so the question is, why do words have so much power? Well, the old saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me is a lie from the pit of hell. Our words matter, and they are powerful. And Proverbs is going to say that our words have power because of two reasons. Our words have power because they don't stay outside of us. They sink down into the very center of who we are. Words have a way of shaping and changing and molding us. They penetrate to the deepest part of who we are in a way that really nothing else can. So they don't stay outside of us. That's one reason that Proverbs is going to say that words have power. But secondly, the reason that words have power is that words spread from us. That's what we're going to be looking at today. So first, words have power because they don't stay outside of us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Just so you know, this is how we're going to be doing this because these are all over the place. We're taking a look at what it has to say about this subject. Proverbs 18, 14 says this: a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? Now, this proverb tells us that what is done to you is of little account beside what is done in you. Outside circumstances, we oftentimes can endure. We can deal with those kind of things. But it's words, either spoken or unspoken, that sink to the depths of who we are and shape us and can actually crush our spirit. The prison evangelist by the name of Bill Glass, he still has a ministry of doing prison ministry, he once shared that he asked a group of 1,000 inmates, how many of you had a parent or grandparent that said you would end up in prison? And he said nearly every one of them raised their hands. And he said this was not a isolated event. He said every prison I ask this question, I get the same response. Words shape us. They change the way that we think. They change the attitude that we have. They change our morale. They change our feelings. They change all of these kind of things. They shape us. And when words are spoken to us, and when we speak them to ourselves, they shape us. This is why it's so important when we think about what is it that we dwell on? What is it that we meditate on? What is it that we sit and stew over? Is it something that actually is going to build life or encouragement or strength into us? Or is it something that as we sit there and dwell on it, all it does is drag us down and change the way that we that our mindset is? Words shape us. Now, this can easily go off into some kind of crazy psychology or some kind of self-help discussion on the power of positive thinking if we're not careful with this. But God wants us to know that it's a powerful thing to be shaped by words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says this, "There is one whose rash words are like a sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." I'll read it again. Proverbs 12:18. "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts." You can feel that, right? "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." Your emotions can be lacerated or healed by the spoken word. Now, we've fallen prey to a fairly foolish thing, I think, in our day. We have relegated our communication to digital bits. And I say this significantly, more and more we communicate via texting or email or things like that. And the problem with this is that it is nearly impossible to accurately communicate via text or email or any of these kind of things. And we know this to be true, right? Think about this simple, this is a simple illustration for the English teachers in our midst. With the simple omission of a comma, just the comma, right? The happy Thanksgiving statement of, "Let's eat grandma," becomes a thing of horror movies. "Let's eat grandma." Right? And it seems silly and it seems simple, but how often do we text something and they're like, "Well, you know, oh man, are they mad? Are they angry? I can't tell. I can't." Go sit down and talk to them. Call them on the phone. Have an actual communication with them. We've isolated ourselves into this bit of screen. And we can be wounded by what is said and by what we think is being said. How about this one? "Oh no, they saw my text and they didn't reply. They must think I'm not worth anything." Right? Am I not worth answering? Well, maybe at that moment they needed to look up a cat video on YouTube and they just forgot to respond back, right? We just created this huge challenge of communication. I'm going to have to completely revamp the way that I do marriage counseling, because I used to say that, like, you know, the whole filter of, you know, husband coming home from work and wife's been, you know, her, you know, gathering up the kids, right? And he walks through the door and the words that are in his mouth come out and they go through the filter of his day, right? And they pass through the airwaves and they go through the filter of her day and then they hit her ears and then they're translated into her definitions of those words. So, dad comes home, walks through the door, kids snow gear everywhere. I'm not saying this out of experience or anything like that. Kids snow gear everywhere. And dad's first response is, well, somebody needs to put up this snow gear. In his mind, he's thinking, somebody's going to die by tripping over this stuff. We ought to get this cleaned up, right? But that passes through the airwaves and hits the ear of mom, who's been dealing with a crying baby, and the bread burned the way that it wasn't overcooked, and all this kind of stuff. And what she hears is not, somebody's going to die because of tripping over this stuff. What she hears is what, moms? Why didn't you come clean this up? That's what she heard. Guys, that's a clue. That's what she heard, right? You didn't know that, did you? That's the filter in which we do. Well, now we've got this whole other layer of a digital thing where we're going like, I don't, what does that emoji mean, right? I don't know. It's the world in which we live. We need to understand that the words that we say, they don't stay outside of us, right? They're not, nobody's ever read an instruction manual for a toaster oven and been like deeply moved, right? Because they stay outside of you, right? Things like poetry and song lyrics and things that you allow to go outside of you and into you, and you go, man, that's, it feels so good, right? Words have power because they don't stay outside of us. And they have the ability to be able to wound us deeply. Your words have the ability to wound people deeply or to bring life to people. One of the major themes of Proverbs that we'll look at is the concept of friendship. It's going to be one of those things we're going to talk about later in great detail. But it often coincides with what friends, real friends, say to us. How they speak to us is going to be a major theme of Proverbs. Proverbs 27:9 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. We've all had a friend come to us with good advice. And that can be sweet to us like perfume, because we know the same thing that it said in three verses before in Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Sometimes friends lovingly wound us to speak life to us. The same way that a surgeon wounds you to make you better. And so there is power in what we say. And the Bible tells us that we will be held accountable to every careless word that comes out of our mouths. One's attitude to another person may be deeply affected by a mere whisper. And one's self-esteem can be disastrously inflated by words of flattery. Words have power because they don't stay outside of us, but they change the very nature of who we are. They change what we value. They change what our priorities are. They change our beliefs. They change our convictions. And this is above all else, that our beliefs and convictions, they're formed by words. As you're growing up, you'll notice there's a kind of a general idea about what you believe, but you don't really oftentimes even know what you believe until you say it out loud. You'd be talking to somebody and they say, what do you think about this? And you begin to try to explain it, and you're just kind of like, well, I think, you know, this and that. And all of a sudden it starts to click. Okay, this is what I believe. It's talking it out. This is why we never do discipleship in by ourselves. There's no long-term spiritual growth just by ourselves. We can study God's Word. We can spend time in it. But when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to the growing in faith, it's done in relationship with other believers. Words don't stay outside of us. They penetrate down into who we are. And these beliefs and convictions that are formed by words, they either destroy you or they make you into the person that God intended for you to be. This is why words have power. What you listen to, what you consume, the words that the people that you seek out, their words have significant power because they shape you. They change you. Words have power because they don't stay outside of us. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." So words have power because they don't stay outside of us. But secondly, words have power because they spread from us. Since words implant ideas in others' minds, their effects multiply. Again, for either good or evil. Proverbs 16:27 and verse 28 say that a worthless man's speech is like a scorching fire that just burns and burns and never stops. And a perverse man spreads strife. But so too a good man will find that his words bear fruit both in the good that finds its way back to him and in the benefits of reaching others. Proverbs describes the words of a righteous man being like a fountain of life to other hearers. And like being a tree of life that others come to pick life-giving fruit from. We all know that person that is so positive and joy-filled. Like that's just their character and their nature that they just make you sick. Right? All of us know that person, right? You just kind of like, ugh, why are you so happy? You know, don't you know things are not happy? You shouldn't be as happy as you are. But then on the flip side, we also know the person that seems like they've never smiled in their whole life. And you're just like, ugh, it's them again, right? The room just seems to grow cold in their presence. Whereas the person filled with joy, you just can't help but smile around them. It becomes contagious. Our words influence and spread beyond us. Our attitude, our hopefulness, or our hopelessness are all transferred to those around us by our words. What we say matters. But the most critical reality of this is that God has said that our faith is given to others by our words. And what we know as truth, what we believe as doctrine, what we have received as revelation from God's Word is given by words to other people. It's often been said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And that's kind of silly because that's like saying, tell the news, and if necessary, use words. We're going to have snow showers with interpretive dance, right? Like, I don't know, how do you do the news without telling word? It's a spoken message, and it is backed up by truthful actions. We're going to see that next time. We're going to take a look at the weakness. Next week we're going to look at the weakness of words. And one of the things of that is that words by themselves without deeds are worthless. The most critical reality is that God has said our faith is given to others by our words. Flip with me into the New Testament, over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And we'll see this reality played out for us in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Get Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And you'll find yourself there. This is what it says. Romans 10, verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what He has heard from us? And here's the key to it of what we're talking about. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. I've been struck this week thinking about a story that's in the news. You may not have seen it. It's the story of John Chow, who's 26. And it's the story of him this past week as he went to go try to engage one of the last Stone Age cultures in the world, an untouched, unengaged people group by the outside. The Sinhalese people are on an island off the coast of India. The only interaction that the outside world has had of them is we have some helicopter photo imagery as they've flown over and taken pictures of these people. And those pictures include those villagers standing on the beach shooting arrows up at the helicopter. They estimate there's about 150 people that live on this island. And John Chow, who was a young, adventurous Christian man, believed the heart of the gospel that said, people need Jesus. Now, it's illegal for anyone to engage this island or these people. And so what he did was he paid some Indian fishermen to take him on their boat close to the island. And he had a canoe, and he had a soccer ball, and he had a waterproof Bible. And he got off the boat, and he started paddling towards them. The first day that he did this, a number of the villagers went down to the beach and began firing arrows at him in his kayak. One arrow struck his waterproof Bible and pierced it. He paddled back to the fisherman's boat and spent the night there thinking about his next moves. And he wrote some letters in his journal, and he wrote some letters to his family. And he talked about the love of Christ. He said what he had done. He said, I tried to yell to them. Actually, I think he used the term holler. I tried to holler to them. My name's John. I love you. Jesus loves you. Do you want some fish? The second day, he got in his kayak and began paddling towards them. 3 days later, the fishermen who had hung around because he had asked them to, saw the villagers dragging John's body along the beach and bury it in a shallow grave. I think the strategy might have been foolish, and I'm really wrestling with it. But the reality remains that unless those people are told the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they too shall perish like we once did. Words matter. They shape and change people. Belief, value, worth, purpose, those are transferred by words. As you read the Proverbs, you need to know that your words matter. They really do matter. I think they matter a lot more than people actually think they're going to matter. Here's a clue, or just here's a statement of the reality in which we live. I harp on social media a lot. I'm on social media and stuff. Just know that if you put it on the internet, it's there forever. Right? What that means is when you become an adult and your employer gets back on your Facebook page and goes 15 years back in time, because they'll have the ability to do that, what you said will be available for them to see. Words matter. Know that your words never stay on the surface. They change us. Either to be more like God created us to be, or they drive us further from His purposes. Your words matter. John chapter 1 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus Christ became flesh so that we could hear and feel and know the Word of God perfectly. We could experience redemption in Him. By His Word, we have life. And He has sent us back into the world to be His heralds of His truth, of His value, of His worth, of His purposes. Words have power. This morning, do you believe that the powerful words of Jesus are enough to save you? This morning, do you believe that you need saving? Scripture says we do, each and every one of us. And God has spoken His good word so that we could be saved. And I can guarantee that if you know that you have been saved by Christ, God has people in your life right now. Here's the thing that's wrecking me with the idea of John. He joyfully embraced death for the chance that these people might hear of Jesus. And we don't care enough to go next door to our neighbor to tell them about Jesus, because they might look at us funny. It's a good word. And it won't stay outside of us. It goes down and it changes. And it spreads. That's the message of Proverbs and the power of your words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Let's pray. God, thank You again so much for the power of Your word. Thank You that it is life to us. God, if there's some here today who don't understand this, they don't know this, Holy Spirit, please, please give them ears to hear. Give them eyes to see Your truth. God, that they may turn to You in faith and repentance and be saved. And God, as we evaluate our own words, we evaluate the lies that we believe, that we say to ourselves continually, when we think about the things that we worry about and we speak that into us, and it shapes and fashions and forms us into a caricature of what You intended for us to be, God, help us to repent. God, also help us to know that our words matter with incredible and eternal purpose. We're so thankful for You, Jesus, that You are the Word made flesh, that You dwelt among us, that You died, were buried, and rose again, so that we could be reconciled to You, Father. And we pray, God, that You would help us to embrace that reality and to go and tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love You. It's Your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've been blessed by the hearing of God's Word. Feel free to connect with us at www.galenabiblechurchak.com and subscribe to this podcast at iTunes or at galenamissions.podbean.com.